Today is the 31st day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it's great to be here with you today as we bring to a close another one of our months together. And we will finish strong and begin the next month tomorrow strong, taking the next step forward like we do every day. But here we are at the conclusion of 5 months together. Congratulations on that. So let's step forward and take the next step together. That will lead us back into the book of 2 Samuel, where we are continuing to work through and understand King David's life. David is in a heap of distress at this point. His son Absalom is trying to take over the country, overthrow his father, take over the kingship, and there is a battle brewing. So today, 2 Samuel chapter 17. Now Ahithophel urged Absalom, "Let me choose 12,000 men to start out after David tonight. I will catch up with him while he is weary and discouraged. He and his troops will panic and everyone will run away. Then I will kill only the king, and I will bring all the people back to you as a bride returns to her husband. After all, it is only one man's life that you seek. Then you will be at peace with all the people." This plan seemed good to Absalom and to all the elders of Israel. But then Absalom said, "Bring in Hushai the Archite. Let's see what he thinks about this." When Hushai arrived, Absalom told him what Ahithophel had said. Then he asked, "What is your opinion? Should we follow Ahithophel's advice? If not, what do you suggest?" "Well," Hushai replied to Absalom, "this time Ahithophel has made a mistake. You know your father and his men. They are mighty warriors. Right now they are as enraged as a mother bear who has been robbed of her cubs. And remember that your father is an experienced man of war. He won't be spending the night among the troops. He is probably already hidden in some pit or cave. And when he comes out and attacks and a few of your men fall, there will be panic among your troops. And the word will spread that Absalom's men are being slaughtered. Then even the bravest soldiers, though they have a heart of a lion, will be paralyzed with fear. For all Israel knows what a mighty warrior your father is and how courageous his men are. I recommend that you mobilize the entire army of Israel, bringing them from as far away as Dan in the north and Beersheba in the south. That way, you will have an army as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And I advise that you personally lead the troops. When we find David, we'll fall on him like dew that falls on the ground. Then neither he nor any of his men will be left alive. And if David were to escape into some town, you will have all Israel there at your command. And we can take ropes and drag the walls of the town into the nearest valley until every stone is torn down." Then Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "Hushai's advice is better than Ahithophel's." For the Lord had determined to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel, which really was the better plan, so that he could bring disaster on Absalom. Hushai told Zadok and Abiathar the priests what Ahithophel had said to Absalom and the elders of Israel, and what he himself had advised instead. "Quick," he told them, "find David and urge him not to stay at the shallows of the Jordan River tonight. He must go across at once into the wilderness beyond. Otherwise he will die and his army with him." Jonathan and Ahimaaz had been staying at En-Rogel so as not to be seen entering and leaving the city. Arrangements had been made for a servant girl to bring them the message they were to take to King David. But a boy spotted them at En-Rogel, and he told Absalom about it. So they quickly escaped to Bahurim, where a man hid them down inside a well in his courtyard. The man's wife put a cloth over the top of the well and scattered grain on it to dry in the sun, so no one suspected they were there. When Absalom's men arrived, they asked her, "Have you seen Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" And the woman replied, "They were here, but they crossed over the brook." Absalom's men looked for them without success and returned to Jerusalem. Then the two men crawled out of the well and hurried on to King David. "Quick," they told him, "cross the Jordan tonight." And they told him how Ahithophel had advised that he be captured and killed. So David and all the people with him went across the Jordan River during the night, and they were all on the other bank before dawn. When Ahithophel realized that his advice had not been followed, he saddled his donkey, went to his hometown, set his affairs in order, and hanged himself. He died there and was buried in the family tomb. David soon arrived at Mahanaim. By now, Absalom had mobilized the entire army of Israel and was leading his troops across the Jordan River. Absalom had appointed Amasa as commander of his army, replacing Joab, who had been commander under David. Amasa was Joab's cousin. His father was Jether, an Ishmaelite. His mother, Abigail, daughter of Nahash, was the sister of Joab's mother, Zariah. Absalom and the Israelite army set up camp in the land of Gilead. When David arrived at Mahanaim, he was warmly greeted by Shobi, son of Nahash, who came from Rabbah of the Ammonites, and by Machir, son of Amiel from Lo-Debar, and by Barzillai of Gilead from Ogalim. They brought sleeping mats, cooking pots, serving bowls, wheat and barley, flour and roasted grain, beans, lentils, honey, butter, sheep, goats, and cheese for David and those who were with him. For they said, "You must all be very hungry and tired and thirsty after your long march through the wilderness." John 19, 23 through 42. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the four of them. They also took his robe, but it was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said, "Rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for it." This fulfilled the scripture that says, "They divided my garments among themselves and threw dice for my clothing." So that is what they did. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to this disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill scripture, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It was the day of preparation, and the Jewish leaders didn't want the bodies hanging there the next day, which was the Sabbath, and a very special Sabbath because it was Passover week. So they asked Pilate to hasten their deaths by ordering that their legs be broken and their bodies could be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two men crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. So they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. This report is from an eyewitness giving an accurate account. He speaks the truth so that you also may continue to believe. These things happened in fulfillment of the scriptures that say, "Not one of his bones will be broken," and "They will look on the one they pierced." Afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. With him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. He brought about 75 pounds of perfumed ointment made from myrrh and aloes. Following Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices in long sheets of linen cloth. The place of crucifixion was near a garden, where there was a new tomb, never used before. And so, because it was the day of preparation for the Jewish Passover, and since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. Psalm 119, 129 through 152. Pay. Your laws are wonderful. No wonder I obey them. The teaching of your word gives light, so even the simple can understand. I pant with expectation, longing for your commands. Come and show me your mercy, as you do for all who love your name. Guide my steps by your word, so I will not be overcome by evil. Ransom me from the oppression of evil people, then I can obey your commandments. Look upon me with love. Teach me your decrees. Rivers of tears gush from my eyes because people disobey your instructions. Tzad. O Lord, you are righteous and your regulations are fair. Your laws are perfect and completely trustworthy. I am overwhelmed with indignation, for my enemies have disregarded your words. Your promises have been thoroughly tested. That is why I love them so much. I am insignificant and despised, but I don't forget your commandments. Your justice is eternal, and your instructions are perfectly true. As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. Your laws are always right. Help me to understand them so I may live. Kof. I pray with all my heart. Answer me, Lord. I will obey your decrees. I cry out to you, rescue me, that I may obey your laws. I rise early before the sun is up. I cry out for help and put my hope in your words. I stay awake through the night thinking about your promise. In your faithful love, O Lord, hear my cry. Let me be revived by following your regulations. Lawless people are coming to attack me. They live far from your instructions. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. I have known from my earliest days that your laws will last forever. Proverbs 16, 12, and 13. A king detests wrongdoing, for his rule is built on justice. The king is pleased with words from righteous lips. He loves those who speak honestly. Okay, so in the life of King David today, in 2 Samuel, we see that things are continuing to heat up. There is a battle brewing. The lines are being drawn. And we see that David's previous advisors are advising Absalom, David's son, who is trying to take over. And we see that Ahithophel's advice, which was good advice according to the scriptures, was not taken. And Hushai, who was loyal to David, his advice was taken. So he was able to get word to David. And eventually David was able to cross the Jordan River to safety for the time being. And we'll obviously continue the drama as we continue the days forward. And then as we end this month, the month of May, in the Gospel of John, the final gospel that we are just about done with, we are faced with the crucifixion and the death of Jesus. And we've already mentioned this. This is the last time we move through this story, because we're moving forward from John into the book of Acts. And that begins the story of the church era. That begins everything that happens next. So here we are, and Jesus is hanging suspended between heaven and earth, nailed to a cross. Soldiers are throwing dice for his clothes. His mom is there, and the disciple that Jesus loved, which we believe to be John, and Jesus takes care of his mom by assigning her to the disciple that he loved. And he took her into his home and took care of him. So he took care of his mom in the final moments of his agony, his agonized life that is literally pouring out of his body and dripping to the ground. It's also heroic to think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, not willing to abandon her son, even though that what she had to endure, what she had to see, would have torn her heart into, I don't know, it's like a million pieces. It would have been agony, but she didn't leave him, and he didn't leave her. And then today we reached those famous words, "It is finished," or "It is accomplished." And Jesus bowed his head and died. His heart stopped beating. He died. And of course, the religious leaders who had organized all of this terribleness, Passover is coming, and they got to get to that celebration. Sabbath is coming. They got to get these bodies off the cross before sundown, because Sabbath is coming in and it's Passover. And so they're very concerned with all of this. And so the two thieves, their legs are broken so that they would suffocate and die quicker. Jesus was already dead. And so just to be sure, he was pierced. And then we have Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, one of the members of the high council, approaching Pilate, getting the body of Jesus and laying it in an unused tomb. They were laying it in this unused tomb nearby where the crucifixion took place because of the Sabbath. It was a temporary thing. They're going to put his body in this tomb, and then after the Sabbath is over, then figure out what to do. It's just that Jesus wasn't good. He just needed it for a minute. Like, he didn't need it for that long. He wasn't going to need a permanent final resting place. He was going to rise. And that is the hope of the gospel. That is our hope. And as we begin the month of June tomorrow, we are able to read of that hope and continue this story and read of the resurrection of Jesus. But now, as we end this month, as we pass through this one last time, we think back all the way to the first day of the year, as we open the Gospel of Matthew and read the genealogy of Jesus and about his birth. All the way until now, we have been traveling each day through the Gospels, walking alongside Jesus, getting to know his personality, getting to understand what kind of a person he was and what he was trying to reveal to humanity. All of the miles that he walked through the dust with his friends, imparting truth to them, teaching them how to have eyes to see and ears to hear. When we think about his kindness toward the children, his kindness toward the downtrodden and the misfits and the outcasts. And then we come back to this body hanging from a cross, and we realize the injustice of it all. And then we realize the willingness to take the injustice upon himself and remove sin from the world. This is why we have hope. And this is how we are supposed to live. In honor of this sacrifice, and so may we think today, at some point, or maybe all day, may it linger with us today, that we are standing here, as we are today, righteous before God, and it cost something. And that cost was the sacrifice of Jesus. And may we have grateful and humble hearts. And Jesus, we thank you. And we've said this so many times, thank you. And we've said so many times how thank you falls flat. It's our lives lived in service, in love, in collaboration, in the dance of life with you. That is what you are after. And so we run to you. We trust you. We adore you. We worship you. And we ask that you lead us in the way that we should go, that we might have eyes to see and ears to hear, and that our lives may honor you and all that we do and think and say. We pray this in your name. You make this all possible. Without you, we can do nothing. And so we are grateful today that you have empowered us, forgiven us, and made us righteous. We pray this in your name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that is home base. It's the website. It's where you find out what is happening around here, I guess. One of the main things that's happening is here we are, bringing another one of our months to a close. So we bid farewell to the month of May as we look forward to tomorrow and the beginning of the month of June. So let's stay connected. Whether that be through social media or whether that be at the prayer wall, let's stay connected through prayer, praying for one another, interceding for each other. As we get ready to do the sixth month of the year and navigate our way to the halfway point. And as we do that navigation, be familiar with the Daily Audio Bible Shop. There are resources available for the journey that we are on. Be familiar with the community section, an aspect of our journey together. There are links to get connected on social media in the community section, and that is also where the prayer wall lives. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this mission to bring God's spoken word read fresh every single day and offer it freely to anyone in the world who will find it and listen any time of day or night, any continent, any time zone, and to build community around showing up for each other every day, showing up for ourselves to allow God to speak to us through his word, and showing up for each other because we're in this together. If that is life-giving, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here next month, which is tomorrow.
Hi, this is Virgil in Texas, Cowboy for Christ. I want to thank Brian and his family for this ministry. It's a true blessing. I've been fifth year now with it. I want to pray for those who have called in prayer requests, all those who are suffering from loss of a loved one, from a sickness or a disease such as cancer and all the other problems they've had. I want to pray for those battling addiction and depression. I want to pray for those facing financial difficulties. And may the Lord our God just touch you all and with his healing hands and his comforting heart and walk with you. I just pray that he comforts you and gives you peace, and may he change your circumstances and bless you. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus I pray. And just thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Amen.
Good morning. This message is for our sister, whose sister had a bad report of stage 4 cancer and who had to put her mom into a memory facility within the same week, I believe. I don't recall your name and I apologize, but I wanted to say that I'm praying for you. I thank God for you and I thank you for calling in. So we'll bring you before the throne of grace. Lord Father, we just thank you this day, oh God, that you are more than able to turn things around. I thank you today, oh God, that we can stand on your word that's true, that we can trust and believe that you have the best for us, because you said in your word that all things will work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. It's a difficult verse, Father, but we believe that what you say is true. We also believe that you said that we can cast our cares upon you. So we do that today, oh God, on behalf of this sister. I pray that you strengthen her today, oh God. I pray that you would turn the situation around, that you would intervene, oh God. Father, that you would move this mountain. We believe, oh God, that you are the God of the impossible. And this situation is impossible in the natural. So we ask you for a miracle, oh God. We ask you to touch today, oh God. Heal, deliver, and set free, all for your glory. We give you thanks in advance for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. We stand in faith because you said without faith, it's impossible to please you. So we put our faith together, God, and we come in one accord and say yes and amen that you will heal, deliver, and set free. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. We love you. We love you, sister. We're standing in agreement with you. It's a heavy load, but we say, cast your cares upon Jesus. Amen. This is Romans 12:2.
Good morning, guys. This is B. Phil Bridger from New York City. Today is Saturday, May 27th. And I promised to give you guys an update about what happened in court. Michael was sentenced to 25 years to life. And my heart breaks for him and his family and his children and my family. And although we did get justice, as I shared before, nobody wins in this situation. I was able to share what the Holy Spirit gave me, which was about not fearing he who can kill the body, but he who can kill the body and the soul. And it was in the most loving way that God presented it. And I told Michael I forgive him and that I'm praying for him and his children and his family. I want to pray real quick for trusting in Jesus, because I heard your message. And Lord, I just want to lift her up to you. The trauma of the sudden events sometimes can bring us to a place of chaos mentally and emotionally. And Father, right now, I just pray that, Lord, trusting in Jesus would truly just continue to lay this all at your feet. God, I ask you to heal her mother. I ask you to heal her sister. I ask you, God, that there would be a ministry of reconciliation, not only within each other, but God, to you in this family. I ask you to overwhelm her with your peace. I ask you to cover her mind. And I bless her this morning and plead the blood of your son upon her and her family. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Recently, I've been reflecting on a photograph I received from my brother, Mike. And this photograph was taken well over 10 years ago. He and I are standing in the backyard under a big pecan tree, beaming with pride, smiling our mother and father's big smiles. His son, little Mike, was there. My grandson, Denzel, was there. two young men in the prime of life, ready to face the challenges of the world. They looked more like brothers than cousins. My daughter Niecy was also there, and a beautiful young princess with a lot of promise in her life. And also in this picture was my little dog Kimmy, an all-American mix who never found out that humans could be cruel. And when I think about this picture, I think about Job. His before and after was very dramatic. His life was abundantly blessed until God gave Satan permission to touch it. And the before and after of the people in this picture is very dramatic too. I am now blind. My brother Mike is dead. Little Mike and Denzel both are doing some serious hard time in prison. And my daughter Niecy suffered a massive stroke that left her with severe mobility and speech limitations. My little dog Kimmy was stolen right out of the front yard and hasn't been seen since. When I think about this, I think just like Job said, even if he slay me, yet will I serve him. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. BlindTony1016@gmail.com.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. This is Nadine, serving from East to Midwest. I haven't called in a long time. I've been out. God has kept me isolated for a good reason. And I didn't like it, and I've never had to just completely rely on God to bring me through. I had a cancer, a diagnosis, a very rare one where my thymus grew really large, and they could not remove it because it was entangled with my lungs and heart. So I had to take radiation. And during that time, I felt like I was in a dream because I really could not believe how people just, you know, pulled away from me, my son, my daughter. It was just like crazy. If I had died, I just wondered, like, if would anybody come to my funeral kind of thing. But I realized, you know, when I actually got the diagnosis, for some reason, God led me to the book of James, and I couldn't understand why. Just, you know, but then continuing to read it and wait to understand, I believe it said, be thankful when we have to go through trials, kind of thing. And I get it, because, you know, it just brings you closer to God. God wanted me. He wanted me to be closer to him. So everybody, just know, you know, we as Christians, we're under attack. We're living in a world of everywhere you turn around, there's you know, attacks, but we're winning. We have to remember it's already won. And so let's just keep that all in mind. Continue to love on each other and continue to just try and make the best of you know, what the days we have left. God bless you.